It's a powerful image our Lord presents to us about speaking about his second coming at the end of time. How when he returns, there will be some who will die of fright. They'll be afraid of Christ. And then that will cause them great fear and panic, many of whom will die in that regard. And then others will stand up straight and turn their heads and gaze upon Christ. And so the difference in the reaction, it's not the person, it's us. Right? We know Christ is going to come back. We know Christ will be coming again at the end of days. And so this first Sunday of Advent, in light of this eschatological reality, this end of times reading given to us in this gospel, gives us a chance to think about that question. If Jesus were to return right now, which group would we be in? Would we be in the group that would die of fright because we're doing something or not doing something that we know that we should be doing in accord with Christ and the right conduct that he's given to us? Or would we be in the group that can stand erect and raise our heads and gaze directly at Christ, greeting him like an old friend? That's the challenge of Advent, is to look at where we are. Which group are we in? The ones that are so scared of Christ and maybe of what he's asking us that we don't really want him. We give lip service to Christ only, but we refuse to change something about ourselves because I want to do it my way, not his way. Those are the people in the first group that when Christ comes back, will die of fright. And then there's that second group that have given themselves heart, mind, and soul over to the Lord so completely and so utterly that it's their greatest joy when Christ returns. The goal of Advent is to be in that second group. So today, this first Sunday of Advent, is that chance for us to look and to see, what do I need to do in order to allow Christ to truly dwell in my heart? What do we need to do in order to be able to greet Christ as an old friend, as our beloved? So Advent is a time then to prepare, to remember that he is coming back, and that he is coming back the second time. He will come back in power and glory to bring justice on the earth. His first coming at Christmas is about mercy. The second coming is about justice. Now, mercy triumphs over justice, our Lord says as much, but only if we have hearts that are open to him. And so when St. Paul, in this first letter to the Thessalonians, speaks about conducting yourself in the manner according to what it means to be a follower of Christ, what is he talking about? He's talking about living out our baptism, our confirmation, and all those sacramental realities each day. Do we follow Christ in the moral law, in the natural law? Do we follow the Beatitudes and the teachings of the church? Or is there something that we're going, I don't need to do that one, I don't like that one, so I'm just not going to follow it? That puts us in the group number one, the group that will die of fright when he returns, because that symbolizes within us there's a hardness of heart. There's some resistance to the life-saving power of the gospel. That's not the appropriate disposition to be able to receive Christ. So this ability to change, to transform ourselves, that's what Advent does. Advent then gives us that opportunity because we've prepared, because we've rid ourselves of these obstacles, these things that keep Christ at arm's length or greater, allows us to fully enter into the joy of Christmas. When God, the one for whom our heart is yearned the most, is made manifest to the world and is truly with us now. That's the joy of the Christian life, is to recognize that Christ is with us. And there's some context to the first two readings to Jeremiah and 1 Thessalonians that help further this message. So the book of Jeremiah is a fascinating book. It's a beautiful book of the prophet. And he writes during the time of the Babylonian exile. And this first reading speaks about a shoot that will blossom forth from David's line, from the line of the king. If you're familiar with the Babylonian exile, the nation of Israel was destroyed. They have no king, at least officially. As Jeremiah closes in its concluding chapters, there's a very small scene that plays great importance for the Israelites as they read it. There's a scene that shows the king of Israel dining with the Babylonian king. So yes, the Israelite king survives. The line of the king continues through, even into exile. We know that for the Israelite nation, once the monarchy was established, the king and his survival was a sign that the nation would survive, that the nation would go on. So to see that the Israelite king is there with these foreign kings, being treated as an equal, even though he's not allowed to govern the Israelite nation, is a sign that God is still with his people, that God is going to redeem them and bring them out of this exile. It's exactly what Christ's birth into our world means for us. God continues to fight for us, that God continues to enter into our suffering to draw life out of that suffering. And then 1 Thessalonians, it's actually the first book in the entire New Testament written. It's the earliest one. It's written between the years 45 and 50, so very shortly after Pentecost, within a decade or so. And it's all about the idea of facing Christ when he returns. It's all about how do Christians conduct themselves and what does it mean to live in accord with this new Christian state in life. And for St. Paul, that means living the cross and the resurrection. It means dying to ourselves and all those worldly desires so that Christ and Christ alone can be the number one desire of our heart. That's Advent preparation. Is Christ really the number one desire of our heart? If he is, then we can greet him with joy, not just at Christmas, but at the end of time. But if he's not the number one desire, then there's some fear and trepidation about his returning. Oh, I hope he doesn't come yet. I need to do this still, or I need to do this. The reason there's fear there is because it's all about us in that mentality. The second group, the one that can stand erect and raise their heads, it's all about Christ. So who is it all about? Is it all about me? Is it all about Jesus? Advent is the time for us to make every aspect of our life all about Jesus.